WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. I'm Barbara Bogave. Two new films related to the Holocaust are now playing in theaters. One is an international hit and received a top prize at Cannes. The other is by the director of The Usual Suspects and stars Ian McKellen. Our film critic John Powers reviews both.
In the years after World War II, several prominent intellectuals argued that the Holocaust was so singularly horrific that simply to represent it was obscene. Such a notion never really caught on with filmmakers, who've shown no qualms at all about turning Nazi genocide into entertainment. In La Vita è Bella, Life is Beautiful, the gifted Italian comedian Roberto Benigni uses the Holocaust as the backdrop for a bittersweet fable. Benigni stars as Guido, a lovable Jewish dreamer who spends the first half of the movie wooing Dora, a schoolteacher engaged to a local fascist bigwig. But 5 years after their marriage, Guido and his small son are separated from Dora and carted off to a concentration camp. The rest of the movie concerns Guido's efforts to protect his son from life's brutality with an elaborate charade. He tells his kid they're in the middle of a bizarre game where the Jewish prisoners are contestants and the Nazi guards are their quizmasters. Although there's nothing really controversial about its theme, that we should love our lives no matter what, Life is Beautiful tends to polarize audiences. The majority of viewers are moved to tears, while a large vocal minority is outraged at the bad taste, even the immorality, of presenting a death camp as something so art-directed and sanitized that you never see any real suffering. Personally, neither response strikes me as being quite right. In principle, I don't think the Holocaust must be treated reverently. Like most people, I laughed at Mel Brooks' Springtime for Hitler. But I do object to Benigni's sloppiness. Although the film wants to be Chaplin-esque, none of Chaplin's pictures has as many ill-staged and badly timed jokes as you find in this movie's opening first hour, when Guido is charming Dora. And when Guido and his son are taken by the Nazis, Benigni makes the mistake of trying to turn the film deep. Rather than upping the comic ante, perhaps the only way of dealing with such a monstrously absurd situation, he plays everything for cheap pathos. Benigni doesn't lead us to a complex reaction to what happened in the camps, but denatures the Holocaust by asking us to turn off our minds and just feel sad. The movie's not so much pernicious as trivial and weightless, like an Auschwitz ride at Disneyland. You get a more cynical sort of Holocaust ride in Apt Pupil, the new thriller based on a novella by Stephen King. It's about a Nazi-obsessed teen, played by Brad Renfro, who discovers that his neighbor, played by Ian McKellen, has a dark secret. Rather than turn him in, he knocks on his door.
If you're selling something, I'm not interested.
I have your newspaper. I'm not selling anything.
What do you want?
If you could let me in for a minute, I just want to talk.
Talk? I don't have anything to say to you, boy. Good day to you.
Bergen-Belsen, January 43 to June 43. Auschwitz. June 43 to June 44. Then you went to Patton. After that, you disappeared. But then in 1965, you were spotted in West Berlin.
Listen, boy. I don't have time for this game. Now get out of here before I call the police.
Call them if you want. I'm sure they'd love to meet you.
Who are you?
My name's Todd Bowden. I didn't mean to scare you. I just really want to talk to you. If you could let me in for a minute, please, Mr. Dusander.
From here, the two begin a drawn-out power struggle. As a voyeur of cruelty, young Todd wants to know exactly how it felt for Denker to do all those vicious things. Meanwhile, the former SS officer just wants to survive. Although you do wonder why he kept his old Nazi uniform around and still plays Wagner on his antique Victrola. Eventually, we see that the two are doppelgangers. In both, intelligence has been cut loose from moral restraint. Like his young hero, director Brian Singer has an adolescent taste for the demonic. His last film, The Usual Suspects, was dominated by the satanic arch-criminal Kaiser Soze. But neither Singer nor Stephen King has the depth to deal with an historical enormity like the Holocaust. There's a great theme in this movie, the continuing allure of Nazi evil. But rather than examine it, they merely trick out the movie with horror pick shtick, like the scene where the old Nazi tries to put a live cat in the oven. What should be a study of corrupted intelligence winds up as another cheapo Nazi thriller, a marathon man for the 90s. Although it has enough twists and sleazy energy to hold your interest, the only compelling reason to see it is Ian McKellen's creepy turn as Denker, a world-weary monster whose billy goat gruff face and rigid posture tell you everything you need to know about corruption. If you flirt with evil, his baleful eyes say, evil will flirt right back.
John Powers is film critic for Vogue.